The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Daffodil Day is something we want to talk about because the work that the Irish Cancer Society have done for decades is enormous in terms of the daffodil nurses, the care and support they provide, and across the whole suite of oncology services, as well as research in terms of a cure. So we're delighted to welcome, to promote Daffodil Day, Dr. Luke Jones, who's a researcher at Systems Biology Ireland in UCD, and a senior researcher winning the Researcher of the Year Award at the 2024 Irish Cancer Society Research Awards, which is obviously, given the level of research taking place, a huge achievement. And I'm delighted to welcome in studio Deirdre O'Rourke, who herself is an ovarian cancer survivor and a member of the Irish Defence Forces. So, first of all, Luke, if I could ask you a little bit about yourself. You're from Sydney in Australia. How did you end up here?
Well, the short answer is my wife is Irish. We met in Australia. She was there for about 7 years during my PhD, and then we decided to move here and start a family and buy a house and do all that. So I'm kind of reverse emigrating.
Okay. And so tell us what's happening in UCD with this Systems Biology Ireland.
So it's a great little spot in UCD. So it combines computer-based biology research with lab-based biology research. And so my background is all very much lab-based research, doing lab-based experiments in childhood cancers. But given the amount of data that's coming out of cancer research these days, there needs to be something done to kind of crunch the numbers. And that's where the computers come in. It's not my background at all. But thankfully, there's a large number of very, very intelligent people in Systems Biology Ireland that that know how to do such things. So it really is taking everything we do in the lab and then trying to make sense of it with computer modeling. And that is probably the next step forward in trying to find better cures and more specific cures. So personalized medicine and very specific drugs for specific patients.
And speaking of specifics, you're talking about children, pediatric, really, really upsetting, with leukemia, which is blood cancer. So just explain what the breakthrough there is in terms of research.
Yeah, so in terms of breakthroughs, there's probably been fairly little. Survival is a lot better than it was maybe 50, 60 years ago, where every child that got leukemia was... it was pretty much fatal. Now, in the most common childhood leukemia, survival rates are about 90%. In the leukemia that I'm looking into, it's less common in children, but it's the most common cause of death related to blood cancers in children. Survival is around 60 to 70%. But the increases have been mainly due to improved patient care rather than new drugs coming through. There's actually been very few drugs approved. And so I suppose that's where my project and similar projects come in trying to identify kind of weaknesses or vulnerabilities in particular patient groups, which can be targeted with new kinder drugs than what are used currently, because the drugs that are out there now, they do work well in some patients, but they are quite toxic and they have quite significant side effects. And so, yeah, the breakthroughs are coming, but I think as people are becoming more aware of cancer in general, but each type of cancer is extremely complicated, and it's a real mixture of different diseases. And so it's just a lot of work to figure out the ins and outs of each specific leukemia.
And for ordinary people who are not oncology experts, one thinks of surgery, one thinks of chemotherapy, and one thinks of radium treatment. Yep. And that the chemotherapy can be very tough on people, and I presume very particularly tough on kids. So what is the alternative? When you say that you wanted to identify the Achilles heel of blood cancer cells, is that with drugs other than chemotherapy?
Yeah, so chemotherapy, it's a very broad term, but it tends to refer to the drugs that are used that are very nonspecific. The way they generally work is by targeting cells that grow very quickly, which the cancer cells do, but so do your hair cells, your skin cells, etc., which is why you see a lot of the very common side effects that you see in cancer therapy, such as hair loss. And also much worse side effects as well. There's in the last, say, 20 years, there's been development of a lot of much more specific drugs. They're still not perfect, but they're designed to target one particular protein, for example, in a cell, which targets a genetic change that might be specific to a particular cancer type or a particular patient's cancer. And so the hope is that by targeting that specifically, that genetic change won't be in the normal cells. And so when you use that drug, you'll just be hitting the cancer cells. And
Okay.
so there may still be some side effects, but they should be a lot less.
Okay, stay with us, Luke, because we want to talk about the funds raised on Friday. But I'm now delighted to welcome in studio with me here is Deirdre O'Rourke, who is an ovarian cancer survivor. She's back working in the defence forces. Tell us what happened in February 2020, please.
Back in 2020, I noticed that I'd put on an awful lot of weight. And I kind of put it down to being that bit over 40, as you do. I had really bad tongue ulcers, and I just put it down to being middle-aged. And then in July, I woke up one night with a really bad pain on my right-hand side, and I thought it was appendicitis. So I rang my doctor. He said, go to A&E, and I went to A&E. They obviously said it wasn't appendicitis, but there's something there. And then the Tuesday morning, 3 days later, I was told I had ovarian cancer. Now, at this stage, you're not told what stage your cancer is at. 3 weeks after that, I had my surgery, and I was told I had stage 3C ovarian cancer. I went through 16 weeks of chemo, and then I started on this relatively new treatment called PARP inhibitors, which is meant to stop the cancer cells from growing again. And that's kind of how I got involved in the research with UCD, because the project I was involved with, the girl was examining how PARP inhibitors and my PARP inhibitor specifically targeted the cell growth of the ovarian cancer cells. And I knew that there were very few people with my mutation of ovarian cancer that were on it. So by talking to her, she actually expanded her research to look at different PARP inhibitors and how the different ones affected the different cancer cells.
Now, of course, 2020, March 2020, was when COVID broke out, and the hospital systems were hugely altered. How did that impact on your care, diagnosis, treatment?
For me,
Yeah.
it was fine as a patient. I suppose I don't know any different. I know it was very hard for my family because they couldn't come into hospital and see me. They couldn't come on any of my chemo sessions or anything like that. But I suppose, especially after surgery, it's quite a large surgery and I was exhausted. So for me, being able to rest in hospital without visitors was actually really good. Not so much for the family because
Okay.
they want to be with you and they want to take
Very
care of you.
tough, very tough.
Yeah.
Now, tragically, 400 people, women a year, are diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and four out of five may die. What for listeners, for women who are listening to this, what would you like to say about the telltale signs and symptoms of ovarian cancer, given your experience? Because early diagnosis does seem to be critical to survival rates.
Early diagnosis is critical, and the signs and symptoms can be mixed up with so much else. But if you go by the BEAT acronym, so if you're bloating excessively, if you're eating less and feeling fuller sooner, if you have abdominal pain, or if you have changes in your toilet habits. Now, it's not changes for a day or two, or if any of the symptoms are for a day or two. It's if they're for more than 3 weeks, you should really go and see your doctor and get that looked to.
Okay, and In terms of stage three, how many stages are there?
There's stage four. So I was stage 3C. I was
so
one away from stage
gone.
Four.
Quite
it
far
is.
Gone.
And the majority of ovarian cancer is caught at stage three or four. It's very rare it's caught sooner.
But can I say, if survival rates are 20%, you look remarkably healthy, Deirdre. It's quite an extraordinary story, because then you got involved in research in relation to ovarian cancer to give something back. Explain that.
Yeah, I got involved with some of the projects in UCD, which has been absolutely amazing, because I never want another person to go through what I went through. So in UCD at the moment, they're looking at developing a test for ovarian cancer, because at the moment there is no test, which makes it harder.
Is there a screening?
There's no screening. There's nothing for ovarian cancer. It's literally keeping an eye on the signs and symptoms and liaising with your doctor about them. And then they're also looking at more targeted therapies, because the likes of low-grade serous ovarian cancer can a lot of the time be chemo-resistant, which means that the chemotherapy doesn't help. So they're looking at the likes of immunotherapies and stuff, and more targeted individual therapies to help people survive cancer, which is amazing, I think.
No, absolutely, absolutely. So I'd like to talk to you both in conclusion about Daffodil Day. Why is it so important, Luke?
From a research perspective, I suppose, just in the more money, the better, really. It's incredibly important that the funding is there to be able to fund the research projects that we do. The government does a good job of providing research funding, but charitable funding makes up a huge portion of the funding that we have access to. And the spectrum, as I sort of alluded to before, cancer is not one disease, and so there's so many different subsections of each cancer that need to be studied, and so many different individual genetic changes within each cancer, that the amount of research that needs to be done to find targeted therapies for each instance is quite huge, really. And also something that I suppose a lot of people might not appreciate is that cancer research is extremely expensive from a lab perspective, just logistically. And so we do our best to do what we can with money we have, but the money needs to be there to do these fancy new experiments and find these targeted therapies and vulnerabilities. So it's just hugely valuable to us to keep doing what we're doing.
Okay. The facts are that 42,000 people a year receive a cancer diagnosis in Ireland. The Cancer Society is there for everyone. Visit cancer.ie/daffodil Daffodil Day if you want to participate, and how you might do it. And that money goes towards the support line, free transport services, Daffodil centres, cancer information, financial grants and night nursing staff. And of course, Luke has just alluded to the research. The Irish Cancer Society gives 3.7 million in cancer research. But to a survivor like you, Deirdre, what is the importance, you know, in terms of a call to action for ordinary people to wear it on their lapel, to be active on Daffodil Day this Friday? What would you say to them?
I'd say every single family in Ireland is nearly affected by cancer. And as a patient, the Irish Cancer Society is your safety blanket. They supply so many services aside from the medical ones, and they just support you through it. And now with the research, hopefully they're developing tests, they're developing new treatments that's less severe for the patient. So just get out there and go all in for Daffodil Day.
All right. You can't say it straighter than that. My thanks to Dr. Luke Jones and to Deirdre O'Raw. An amazing story of survival. Can't speak highly enough about the Cancer Society, and please do support it. Check out the website and you'll see the volunteers on Friday out and about on the streets. Thank you both.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.